Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
So I put a survey out last week, and one, it was just to get an idea of like what people respond to, I guess, when they have to listen to us.
When they get to.
But so we got really great response, which was awesome. You can still take it if you want to. I also asked people too, like, what are they interested in hearing? Like, what else do they want to learn about? Because
probably more me talking a little more often.
Yeah.
Unless
they want it. They want to stop. Not less. No, I know. No, but, just like, what are different topics that we can cover? And so we got a couple, we got a handful of different ideas. And so we're going to cover one of them.
Oh, we're only going to cover one. Huh?
Just right now. We're going to do one right now. I think they deserve their own because they're very different. Welcome to The Secret Life of Parkinson's, a podcast created by people living with Parkinson's to help break the stigma of a disease no one likes to talk about. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Krauser and Brian Baker. So this one I thought was good and interesting. I mean, useful for anybody. And it's the medication journey that we take. Because I didn't know in the beginning when I was first diagnosed that what I'm going to start on, it's not going to be the same thing all the way through. You know, normally with like, I don't know, to me, like other diseases or other things that you're diagnosed with, it's like, oh, you start on this medication and it's like, that's it.
Right.
That's what I don't know. I just assumed that. And then lo and behold, it like, you increase, you decrease, you add things, you try this, you try that. And it's like, wow. So I took a lot of notes. I don't take notes anymore because I can't read my own handwriting. But I thought we would talk about our own journey, each of us individually, of like what we started out on, what we changed to, how often we did. I don't know, just to share that.
Great.
Do you remember yours? You can think through it while I talk about mine, but...
Yeah.
Okay. So I started on Ropinirole, which is also, that's the generic form of Requip. I think Mirapex is also like the same thing. It's a dopamine agonist. So I started on Ropinirole right away in 2019. And I started on that and they did like a half a pill once a day, and then a half a pill twice a day, and then a half a pill three times a day until I got myself up to one pill three times a day. So I was doing 3 milligrams by October of that year. So I started on August, and by October, I was doing 3 milligrams.
And this is right after you were diagnosed?
Mm-hmm. So because a lot of my pain was issues were in my foot and my leg. So mm-hmm. Requip is usually used for restless leg syndrome. So then by... a couple weeks after that, then I moved up to 5 milligrams. I don't know why I was going up so quickly. So I was taking 2 pills in the morning and then 1 in the afternoon, 1 later on. And then I stayed consistent on that till January. And then I went to 6 milligrams. So now we're in 2020. I was 2, 2, and 2. And then I went to 9 milligrams. In February, again, why I was going up, I must have still been saying, like, I'm still feeling whatever, like, it wasn't working,
mm-hmm.
I guess, as well. Then that February to October, I was good, I guess, on 9. And then in October, I took it up to 12. That was too high, because then that's when I had the conversation, I think, in January, that the medication was potentially making me addicted to working. So I had that conversation, and then she started taking me down. So we went back down to 9 milligrams, and then that was in February. And then by April is when I came in again, and I was telling her all the things I was still doing from like a work standpoint. And she's like, we got to shut this down. She's like, you know, obviously it's like, it's not working and you're up too high. So then I completely came off of Rapinrol, and then I went to carbidopa levodopa. And then that was in 2021, right? I just closed the book. I don't know why I did that. So that was in 2021, and I went to carbidopa levodopa. And again, I started slow, the whole like titrating up. I did one pill 3 times a day at the same time every day. I learned that at that point too. And then I think, a year later is when I went up to 2 pills 3 times a day. And then I believe that's when I started getting dyskinesia that I wasn't a fan of. So then we moved off of the 2 pills a day and did 1 immediate release and 1 controlled release. And I was doing 2 of those, like one each, 3 times a day. And then I went to 4 times a day. And then at the same time, I was taking amantadine at night.
That's what I was going to ask, if you ever tried amantadine.
Yeah, so I did. I started amantadine, I think almost as soon as I started carbidopa levodopa, just to help with the dyskinesia or the potential for dyskinesia. And then I was doing 1 a day, and then we upped it to 2 once the dyskinesia did start, and it helped. And then I switched to GoCovery when I started doing the controlled release, mm-hmm. carbidopa levodopa. So I was taking, like I said, 2 pills, one controlled, one immediate, 4 times every day, and then the GoCovery at night, because then that helped extend throughout the day. And now I'm on
Crexont.
And I'm now doing 1 in the morning and 1 at night, and then still the 2 GoCovery at night now that with the DBS. So that's my medication journey, and that's been over the span of 6 years.
Great. Well, mine started out before I was officially diagnosed. I first went to the neurologist,
mm-hmm.
and he was questioning whether or not I had Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote me a script, said take 1 pill 3 times a day, sent me on my way. I started taking it. I started getting really bad muscle cramps.
What did he give you?
Carbidopa
levodopa.
Yeah, levodopa. I didn't know what to expect. Didn't know to do. I quit taking it.
On your own?
Yeah. I was like, this stuff's messed me up more.
Did you titrate up?
I didn't know what I was doing because I didn't know anything about Parkinson's.
But he didn't tell you?
No, he just like...
Take one.
Yeah.
Didn't you get sick?
Huh?
You didn't get sick on it?
No, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, so I quit taking that. Went back to him, and that's when he sent me to the movement disorder specialist, and that's when we really got serious about Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
For the first year, I think it was, or year and a half, something like that, I didn't take any medication. I was anti-medication. Nope, I don't want to take it. Then the dystonia got so bad that I was like, okay, let's just try it. And then after they were trying it, I was like, why did I wait so long?
Yeah.
Why did I not take this stuff to help me live a better life? So the same thing, started out like a half a pill, went to a full pill 3 times a day. And it slowly increased over the first 4 years after that. They mix amantadine. I did try amantadine. Now, my amantadine, I don't want to say I give it a fair shot,
mm-hmm.
because I started having like a lot of pain in my elbow, pain in my shoulder, mm-hmm. by the time I started taking amantadine. So I was like, oh, I contributed to that. Now I know that not to be true. But I was like, oh, this is hurting me.
You don't give a lot of medications chance right away.
Well, no, I mean, I was just like, no, I was on it for a while, but okay. It had been, that's what had changed in the visits, that you know, little did I know back then, that's just part of Parkinson's, is a pain in the shoulders and the knees and the elbows and wrists and joints. But basically got up to four pills of three of Rytary and one immediate release three times a day. Right before DBS, I was taking 12 pills.
That's what I was up to, yeah.
Yeah. It got to the point where I physically couldn't swallow any more pills.
I mean, I was just annoyed with it. And I remember saying, I told my doctor at one point, I'm like, I feel like I have like pill like fatigue. And she's like, oh, she's like, honey, you're not even on that many yet. I'm like, what?
But yeah. And then somewhere in there, they sprinkled on Mirapex for a short time.
And why'd they do that?
Because the dopamine agonist, and you know, I think in reality, a lot.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
I'm trying the same thing. So they try to get you with a, you know.
Yeah.
With a
levodopa,
and then like a dopamine agonist. Mm-hmm. And stuff.
Were you ever afraid of dyskinesia?
No.
I was in the beginning, and then I realized, I'm like, why am I afraid of it? If it happens and I want to go off of it, then you just go off of it.
Yeah.
And it goes away.
No, and I don't, like you said, and I've not been at it for 3 years now.
Uh-huh.
But I'm looking at seeing what other options may be out there.
Yeah.
To help me with my speech.
Speech therapy works.
And my movements.
Mm-hmm. Crexont, honest to God, I really.
Yeah, I can't do the powder pills of levodopa. I mean, they just make me so tired.
Yeah, these are capsules.
Yeah.
I can show them to you.
So, I don't know, we're going to have a conversation about that next time I go to the neurologist.
Good. Do you need me to be there?
No, it's all right.
I'm just kidding.
But I can tell you what doesn't work.
What?
Let's have a conversation about that.
Okay.
Like, I've read and seen a lot of stuff like that. People like saying they have meditated their Parkinson's away, or they have B1 or B12 vitamin their Parkinson's away, or they have used natural remedies to cure their Parkinson's. No, you didn't. Because if you did, you didn't have Parkinson's.
Or if they do feel that, they might be at an early stage. And honestly, like those home natural remedies do help.
Oh, I don't disagree that they help, but they don't cure it. They don't cure it.
No.
So that's false news.
Fake news.
Fake news. No, and I think meditation and those things can help with you controlling your tremors, controlling some of the dyskinesia. But it's not going to be just make your Parkinson's go.
But I think it helps with a lot of too of the non-motor symptoms that we don't see. Right. So like with people that, you know, we have depression and anxiety and apathy and like, excuse me.
But I had started taking some all natural things before I got on medication.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got on medication, the neurologist was like, stop taking that stuff because we can't tell
what's working,
what's not. Yeah.
You know what's interesting, that's kind of totally changing the subject, but like with DBS and like, because what works, you know, it's been studied, is exercise, right? And we know that, and we do it.
Well, it's the same. You're not gonna exercise your Parkinson's.
No,
as I said, it's gonna help you stay mobile and it's gonna help you have a better quality of life.
But did you notice, I know you've told me before, like when you were first diagnosed, you were in the gym and you were probably the best shape of your life. And now like you feel like you need to get back to where you were before, like being in the gym.
Yes.
Do you think it's because of DBS? Man. Like, I honestly, like, I thought about it today. And I was like, am I not going to the gym, like, as regularly as I could or should, like I used to before, because I don't feel like how I did before. Like, I feel really good.
Maybe you have some good insight.
Honestly, like, because that's, and I, like, I'm trying to tell myself, it's like, okay, but it's not always going to be like this. Right. So I got to get in there, and there's a reason for it. It's not maybe for me right now. It is for me right now, but it's for me down the road. But it's like, DBS has made me feel so good that I don't.
That you don't. Yeah. I mean, well, my thing is my movement. I mean, I'm seeing my stuff progress, my Parkinson's progress.
Mm-hmm. But again, you're not taking any medication. I am.
Yeah. But mine's that slow movement. Mm-hmm. You know, like I can squat, but I'm so slow getting down and coming back up or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. There might be some good insight to that.
But I think that the medication journey is definitely, you know, for somebody who's new. Oh, what?
I also did sprinkle. I mean, I had trouble sleeping. Uh-huh. Like most of us do.
Yeah.
I did sprinkle some gummies, some marijuana gummies.
Into the mix
in there too.
Can you talk about what kind you take? Because I did reply back to that listener, but just others.
Yeah, and I don't do it consistently, but if I'm having trouble sleeping, I will take like anywhere from 5 to 10 milligrams of what they call indica.
Indica, I-N-D-I-C-A.
Yep. The way to remember it is it puts you into the couch.
That's awesome. Into the couch.
But, yeah, and those are kind of, sometimes those are hit and miss depending on.
And start low if you've never done it.
But like anywhere, like 5 to 10 milligrams that now, but right now, like the ones I've got, if I take, oh, I sleep so good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So basically, it's about the only way I can get more than like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Sleep a night.
Okay. Yeah, sleep was a bigger issue for me earlier on. It hasn't been that bad.
Yeah, since. Now mine. It's not like as bad as it used to be.
Yeah.
But it still comes and goes. So
yeah.
Now that we're on this topic of sleep, what about? So we went on our little trip.
Uh huh.
And I was pretty exhausted the next night.
When we got home?
Yeah, and I noticed myself having, like, dyskinesia, like, resting dyskinesia, which is new for me at nighttime. Huh. Like, I was, like, laying there, like, in my arm was just, like, kind of twitch.
Yeah.
In my head, you know, like, yeah. And I was like, huh.
Was it just the night after?
It just seemed to be that night.
It could have just been the travel.
Well, that's what Nicole said. She's like, you're probably just exhausted. And
I made you run in the airport.
I don't know. You didn't make it. That much choice I had.
I know. But we did make it.
You did.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think travel does a lot to people.
Yeah.
Regardless of Parkinson's, but Parkinson's, it hits us more and in different ways that we probably just don't even realize.
Yeah. I'm slowly learning to make sure that I have more than like a half hour window in between flights.
Yeah. Well, we did.
I know we did, but
then it was a little late. Yeah. I'm going to have to get you a wheelchair.
A wheelchair around those little beeping golf carts. Yeah.
It's like we need something to really rush us through. But no, I like the idea of this medication journey because, you know, when you're new, you don't think you have to change it. And I think a lot of people don't add to their medication. A lot of people, I'm speaking to some people specifically, that don't think they have to add to their medication or they don't want to because the disease is getting worse, therefore they have to take more. But it's like, but again, do you want to feel good?
Right. And it's not just medication. DBS, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you should have your rep for your DBS at the neurology appointments. At least I believe you should because they're the ones updating the software, telling you the latest and greatest changes. They're telling you, or they can.
And it's so specific.
Yeah.
They dial it down and
dial it up, dial it down, where it's not just a matter of, turning the amplitude up or down.
Right.
So like maybe you need to have some stuff changes. So just like you have your medication conversation with your neurologist,
right.
You need to have that DBS conversation.
Well, cause you also have a medication discussion with your pharmacist. So with your DBS, it's like, I want to talk to somebody who handles it all the time. Right. So,
Good call.
All right. All right, so with that, our last 30 seconds, I'll leave you with this. If you're new to being diagnosed with Parkinson's or haven't been diagnosed yet, or even into the disease and you're still taking or not taking any medication, when you do start your medication journey, just know it is going to change probably every 3 to 6 months until I got things right. And then it's going to change again. So just be prepared, maybe write down what you've taken, how often you're taking it, write down the symptoms, side effects, and then that way you can always advocate for yourself or your doctor if there's something that you need to adjust. So again, always advocate for yourself, talk to your doctor. And with that, we'll see you next time. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is produced by Melissa Carlson and Steve Brandenburg. To contact us, email info@thesecretlifeofpd.org. The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not responsible or liable for any medical advice, diagnosis, course of treatment, or any other information obtained through this podcast. The information provided by The Secret Life of Parkinson's is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast. You are encouraged to consult a physician for a definitive diagnosis.